Anderson, El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
You're getting in trouble. I'm going to get in trouble for what?
Well, I think the things you said before, and we're on the air.
Yeah, okay, we're on the air right now. Phil Hendry Show, our number, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. The things I said, what?
Do you want to talk about this here?
Yes.
Well, the things that you said, Phil, before you went on the air were very pointed, and somebody could be rolling tape on that.
Yeah, that's the thing I worry about, man. Somebody tape recording it.
Yeah, somebody tape records it, and what?
What if they played it back for people?
Well, what am I going to do about it? They play it back for people, they play it back for people, you know. If we find out that they're posting it illegally, you know, all that other good copyright-protected bullcrap aside, I think what we're getting at here is you're saying there was something wrong with what I said?
Well, they are, once again, Phil, what you're doing is you're going after the bosses.
You know, let me say something here. I've never worked in an industry that has got such sissies. I mean, this is a sissy business. You know, everybody's supposed to keep their mouths shut. Everybody's supposed to just be a good little boy and girl and not say anything. You know, I mean, I was talking before the show started on our feed, on our Phil TV and HD BSP Backstage Pass feed.
Yeah, go to philhendryshow.com and get Backstage Pass.
Thank you, bud. I was talking, and this is a very real thing. I was saying the following thing. I said, you know, every time some kind of new media begins to make an impact or begins to draw an audience, there has always been some kind of a sit-down discussion between labor and management on how they want to divvy up the money and how it's going to work. Or there's been a strike. Like, for instance, in 1980, when the cable TV thing started, there was a writer's strike, there was an actor's strike. Then came along another writer's strike late in the decade having to do with some other aspect of cable residuals. And then comes, of course, now digital, internet, so on and so forth. And there was a writer's strike and an actor's strike. This happens because there are people saying, aha, you know, what's going on? The only place where none of this stuff happens is radio. That's because they've driven the unions completely out of radio, and so people that work for a living on the air they're at the mercy of the bloodsuckers that run this business. Now you're telling me I'm not supposed to say anything about it. You're telling me I'm supposed to just keep my mouth shut. You know, I mean, why is this not a good topic?
Well, I think people want to talk more about, you know,
yeah, like Obama and Romney and stuff.
Well, maybe they do and maybe they don't. I don't give a damn. I'm talking about what I want to talk about. I'm talking about what I'm talking about. You know, look at how many people, iHeart Radio, you know what that is, right?
Yep.
Okay. Everybody's got the iHeart app or they're getting it or they've heard about it. And the fact is that that's a classic example of what I'm talking about. So let's take a radio show. And through the iHeart app, you can go get that radio show, and then it's spread all over God's good green earth, and you don't get paid any extra for it. And I'm like the bad guy for bringing it up. I talk to these guys in the radio press, and they call me some kind of a loose cannon. What is that about? That's insane, man. If you're in an industry, it could be any industry, construction, medicine, I don't care what. And you work in that industry for 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, and you don't have an opinion about what's happening in your industry, and you don't want to express it. There's something wrong with you.
Well, I don't, Phil. I don't think anyone's saying you can't have an opinion.
Well, what? How often do I talk about this on the air? I'm not talking about. I was talking about it off the air. You're the guys that brought it up.
Yeah, because we're afraid there's gonna be. You know.
Well, I'll do it, bud. We're afraid that there's.
Let me try. We're afraid that...
Here, I'll do it. You guys are afraid that there's going to be some backlash? What are they going to do to me that they haven't already done to me? What are they going to do to Phil Hendry that they haven't already done to me, you know? Tonight, I was over at our rehearsal studio, and we were working on our one-man show. And I remember saying to the people that are there, because we've got a couple of really great producers working with us, and Alex and Chris were there, and I was there, and we had... You know, we were working through a lot of material, and I said to them, I said, you know, this is really fun. I mean, this is going to be a lot of fun sort of bringing my sense of humor and bringing my thing to a stage. And I said, I wonder why it is, as goofy as this show is, and it's weird, no question.
Well, speak for yourself.
What does that mean?
Well, when you say you have a weird show, are you talking about me?
Well, there's also Bud and Robert here.
Well, I don't care about that. Are you talking about me?
No, I'm not, Margaret. I'm not talking about you being weird. It's just, this show's weird. What I am saying is, you know, I said as we were doing what we were doing, I said, I wonder how it is that that in the world of radio, all there is sort of this political talk, and the kind of theatrical stuff I do has never really... And the answer came almost in unison, almost as if everybody knew what everybody was thinking. They just said, radio, you know, terrestrial radio has died, man. Died.
That's what I'm talking about there, right there. You're on terrestrial radio, and now you're saying it's dead.
Well, it's not dead here. We're doing, you know, we're loving life, you know.
Yeah, but you say it's dead, and nobody wants to be around dead, man.
Yeah. You think about who wants to smell it, and I don't mean to smell it or anything.
No, that's a very good point, though. If you're talking about living among the dead, if you're talking about, Phil, working among or working inside of something that has rotted and died, who wants to be around something that smells like that? You see?
Well, all right. I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, nobody's going to want to be around something that rotted it out.
Yeah, I know. Nobody wants to be around something that rotted it out. So how is it that you coexist with that mind of yours, bud?
Yeah. See what I'm saying? You're sitting there amusing yourself, and a lot of people amuse themselves. Children amuse themselves. Young adolescent boys amuse themselves when they get a hold of certain magazines. See?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Is that what I'm doing here? I'm amusing myself that way? I'm just telling you that I had an opinion and I expressed it, and now we're into our radio show. We don't have to go on any further, you know.
Well, I think, though, Phil, that it is something that we'll come back to. What I'm trying to do is collect my thoughts here. I want to express this clearly.
Okay.
I think, Phil, that it will come back to haunt you if you do not carefully... Okay?
Yeah.
Think of those things that you say, hey, all right?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
And then you will say...
What am I, in the middle of some remedial reading class? What are you doing?
She's trying to tell you, man. She's trying to collect a thought.
I'm trying to spit this out the best way I know how.
Well, let me help you. Are you saying, Phil, think before you leap, or look before you leap, think before you say some of these things? Because nobody in this business, in the radio industry, cares at all about creative effort. All they care about is sucking blood from people. Is that it?
Oh, that was so diplomatic. Right, but guys, don't...
Yay! Good going, Mr. Andrew. That was great.
Yeah, man, they're going to love you now. All right, well, I mean, how else do you want me to express this stuff? I know, let's poll the audience. Would you like me to be honest, folks, or would you like me to lie? Would you like me to come on here every night and say things that I don't really believe and that I don't care about? Would you like that? Or would you like me to come out with stuff that's on my mind and it may be something that you're not thinking about or maybe you're not even aware of, but hey, who knows? Maybe Phil is bringing something to your attention, something that's interesting. Maybe it's something that he's brought to your attention that you feel strongly about and you think Phil's full of crap and you want to hear how full of crap he is. You know, we could do that.
Well, I think people want to know what your opinions are, Phil, but I don't think you want to... Now, hold on. I don't think you want to say things that are so pointed that it is going to lead to what we would call a rupture. Okay? And...
Margaret, you know, every time you make a point...
Yeah, John, you got to rupture.
What did you say? Are you talking to me or Mr. Henry's talking to me? I don't talk to you. You understand?
Yeah, but you're all going rapture.
Yeah, see, you're talking kind of tarted up and everything.
Don't tell me I talk tarted up. Mr. Henry already told you can't talk that way.
I don't want you guys talking that way. Margaret, please just say things and don't sit there going, and the Bud's right, you know, rapture.
Oh, God, forget it. I had dinner, I'm sorry, but I had Szechuan chicken and I need to go to the...
Go ahead to the toilet, man. You don't have to announce it every time you got to go to the toilet. God.
I had Szechuan chicken.
Okay, so you had Szechuan chicken. What does that do? Move through your bowels faster than other food?
How dare you tell everyone what I'm doing?
You just told everyone what you're doing. You know what we ought to do is we'll just have an alarm here, okay? And Margaret, this is what we're going to do every night, all right? Just be, what are you doing?
Oh, well, I thought I'd see what you're doing.
Okay, let me show you what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do every night, just about this time of night. If you need to go to the bathroom, we will... It's Margaret's bowel movement alarm.
Ow! That's what I think of that.
Ow! God, she was angry, wasn't she? All right, folks. Margaret's in the bathroom. She had Szechuan chicken tonight. And ow! God, man, you're really...
Don't do that.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Next thing you know, I'll have to talk to Frank. 877-876-7445. Uh-oh. Lights on in the ladies' room. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Who is that, man?
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and Margaret has returned from the bathroom.
I asked you not to do that.
I'm sorry, Margaret. We're having some fun.
But do you understand it's very tasteless?
It's tasteless for you to say I got to go to the toilet.
Why is that tasteless? I don't understand. I did it in a very adult way. I was getting uncomfortable. Oh, forget it.
Right. Yeah, let's just not bring it up, okay? All right, 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show, and this is something that I just noticed, so forgive me if it is something that all of you have followed, and maybe you don't care, and maybe I do, you know. But here it is. The headline reads that Romney's 47% remarks were completely wrong. This, in the opinion of Governor Romney, Republican presidential candidate, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, speaks at a rally in Fisherville, Virginia. Now, who wrote this article? Well, according to the CBS News site, Walt Cronkite wrote this article.
Who's he?
Who's he? Walter Cronkite was a cat that was the man. He was the face of CBS News for decades. He was the senior... correspondent, the senior bureau chief. He was CBS News. Walter Cronkite was probably we could safely say Walter Cronkite is the founding father of network TV news anchors. Okay?
Yeah.
He's dead, man.
Oh.
No, wait a minute. Who did you say wrote that?
Walt Cronkite.
Well, I know this is nitpicking, but...
So, obviously, Margaret, I know it's somebody different, but don't you think that that's a little disrespectful?
No, I don't think it's disrespectful if that's the person's name. Now, that's what I'm trying to figure out here.
So, there's a guy working at CBS News as a guy that's writing a blog for the website, the CBS website, their news site, and his name happens to be Walt Cronkite.
Yeah, well, maybe he changed it or something.
That's a very good point. He could have changed his name to Walt Cronkite.
Why?
To be more salable, to be more, I suppose, connected to the tradition, to be more top of mind. I don't know.
And you don't think that's disrespectful?
Not if it's really his name. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Wait a minute. Wait. If he changed his name...
Then it is his name. She does have a good... She got a gooder point than you, Mr. Henry.
Oh, she's got a gooder point. Oh, okay.
Well, Phil, don't be sarcastic because Bud happens to agree with me.
Well, but certainly, if a guy changed his name... If he changed his name so that he could use the name Walt Cronkite to be some kind of a new generation Walt Cronkite, or to get people to even think of Walter Cronkite and hence identify more readily with CBS News, I say it's a tasteless thing.
But if it's his name...
Wait a minute, man. What are you guys saying?
What are you saying?
Are you saying that this guy came to CBS with the name Walt Cronkite?
Yes.
And okay, so it's his name, yeah.
Yeah, he got his name changed and he applied for a job.
He got his name changed and then he applied for... That's what I'm talking about right there.
What?
What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that the guy went out and purposefully changed his name to Walt Cronkite Well, don't, I mean, look at the economy right now, Mr. Henry. Excuse me, Margaret, I just want to make this one point.
Go ahead.
Look at the economy now, and the job market is bad. And a man's got to do what, you know, the thing you need to do. And a man's got to do the things you need to do. So the guy goes out, changes his name to Walt Cronkite, right?
Yeah, my uncle was the same thing when he changed his name to Harley Davidson. And they said, well, okay, as long as you don't do anything with a motorcycle. And he said, I'm not going to. But my uncle liked Harley. I like Harley Davidson, too.
And because your uncle liked Harley Davidson, was it a tribute?
It was a tribute, but also he just liked the name Harley Davidson. They said, well, that's the name of the motorcycle. He goes, yeah, I know, but I also just like the name.
Did your uncle change his name to Harley Davidson because he liked the bike, because he liked the name?
Because he liked the name. He liked the name.
Or did he say he liked the name because Harley Davidson wanted to sue him?
No, well, yeah, they did want to sue him, and that's when he said, no, I just like the name.
You know, something's not right here, because what...
Phil, it's not right because people don't agree with you, so something's not right.
No. Look, I'm willing to hear you guys out, and I'm willing to believe what you're saying, but I'm just asking this question. Okay?
If the guy changed his name to Walt Cronkite, what's that got to do? That's his name.
If he changed his name, man, is what I'm trying to tell you. If he changed his name to Walt Cronkite, what was the reason he changed his name to Walt Cronkite?
You don't know, because maybe he worked at the Fish and Game or something.
Yes, what if he worked at the Parks Department of Fish and Game?
What if he worked at the Parks Department when?
Like after he changed his name to Walt Cronkite.
I still am not buying it. I'm still not buying it.
Well, Phil, you're not buying it because you want to be right. And this is the thing, this is the problem that I have with you. You always want to be right.
No, I don't think I have that problem. I think you want to always be right, to be honest with you. No, look, just hear me out, okay?
No, you're not being fair.
Wait a second, man. Just hold on for just 5 seconds, all right?
One, two...
Wait a minute. Wait, hold on, okay?
Three, four...
5 seconds is up.
Hold on. I think, and if I'm wrong, tell me, a guy changing his name to Walt Cronkite is significant. And here's why. Wait a minute. Here's why.
No, I just don't.
Don't shake your head, bud. Just hear me out. A, that's not a very common name. And, oh, it just so happens that that was a name that a very famous person had once. It would be like if I changed my name to, well, let's say David Brinkley.
No, it would be as if you changed your name to Dave Brinkley.
Yeah, you didn't change his name to Walt Cronkite. Walt Cronkite.
Well, I thank God you're laughing. I didn't think we'd see that at all tonight.
I've got nothing to say to you guys. Let's say I changed my name to Dave Brinkley. I changed my name to Dave Brinkley. Not David Brinkley, Dave Brinkley. But I happen to go to work for the ABC news site, okay?
Well, but he also worked for NBC. See, this is where you don't... This is where it's not the same thing.
Oh, come on, Margaret. Don't nitpick. All right, let's say it was NBC. But everybody knows him from ABC. So I go to work for the website. And my name is Dave Brinkley. I'm on ABC's website. And ABC just happened to have a show called This Week with David Brinkley. And everybody remembers David Brinkley. And everyone saw that show. That was a very popular Sunday morning show. And now they got Dave Brinkley writing articles and blogs for the ABC news site. Now, if you were a person that admired David Brinkley, as I admired Walter Cronkite.
No, I was going to say not Cronkite.
Yeah, thank you. Walter Cronkite, would you not feel as if that's a disrespectful thing?
I don't know, Phil, not if it was your name. You're missing the point here. And I'm saying the guy changed his name to that.
Yeah, but if he's working for Fish and Game.
Yeah, you're missing the point. If he's working for Fish and Game, how can you say that he changed his name because he wanted to emulate Walter Cronkite when, in point of fact, he works for Fish and Game?
Because he quit Fish and Game and now he's working for CBS News.
Yeah, but I mean, he changed his name when he's working for Fish and Game.
Look at guys, you're idiots. I'm sorry.
I don't like being called that name.
Well, I'm sorry. You sound like an idiot, and you're all three of you idiots, all right? Some guy changes his name to Walt Cronkite. Then he goes to work for Fish and Game. Why? Why did he go to work for Fish and Game?
Because he likes to fish.
Okay, so he likes to fish. Now, why did he leave Fish and Game?
He got a better job offer on the CBS News.
Gets a better job offer at the CBS News. And how lucky for CBS, because his name happens to be Walt Cronkite. That's what he changed his name to while he was working for Fish and Game.
Yeah, and?
Yeah.
get it.
Oh, look at the baby.
Yeah, better go get a bottle of milk and everything, Mr. Henry.
Oh, be quiet. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Forget I even brought it up, okay? We got more news about Romney and the election and the campaign and the whole thing coming up on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I should never have said fishing game. Never.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're happy to be with you. We're online at philhenryshow.com from the El Pacifico, which is where we broadcast from each and every night. And if you watch us on Phil TV in HD, you can do that. You just get your backstage pass. We're on TV right now, and behind me is the splashing, roiling surf of the El Pacifico. Very, very beautiful out there. That's the jetty. That's our jetty out near the entrance to the harbor. And just beyond the jetty, if you're looking at Phil TV, you'll see where my finger is. You will see where there is a buoy, B-U-O-Y, bud, not...
You said boy one time. It's like a boy floats out there or something.
Oh, that's very amusing. Isn't that cute?
Yeah. Doesn't mean I'm dumb.
Yeah.
Okay, but in any event... On that buoy out there, you can oftentimes see the sea lions and the seals cavorting. And,
what does that mean, cavort?
Cavorting, playing, you know. And, you know, it's a very charming aspect to El Pacifico life here. We have a big sea lion population, an enormous sea lion population up and down the West Coast. But particularly here in California, and people, scumbags, and I don't want to mention any names because, frankly, I don't know the names. But there are some people who under the cover of night, because they know that if they did it in the daytime, someone would take their rifle away from them and bend it around their face, under the cover of night, will go out with their rifles and shoot our beautiful sea lions. And they do this, a lot of them, they do this, because they say, I'm a fisherman and the sea lions is doing a... Yeah, uh-huh. Bull crap. And so that's where that is. But I mean, it just really...
I don't believe that. People are out shooting those animals?
Some people at night. Up in the Central California coast, it's happened. And it also happened in Oregon. And Oregon has a different sea lion. California sea lion extends down to Mexico. And the habitat, I should say, of the California sea lion extends down to Mexico. Now, north of the California border, up in the northwest, we have what are called stellar sea lions. These are very big, much bigger sea lions than the California sea lions. They've got a kind of a growling voice as opposed to that classic sea lion bark that everybody knows. Those animals are endangered. The California sea lion is not. But those animals, just goes to show you the sadism of some people, even though they are endangered, those animals are also the object of this kind of thing. So,
but a lot of people up there protect them and stuff.
There are people, there's lots and lots of people that are on the lookout for these guys with guns. There's no question, and there's lots and lots of people who are, you know, really have taken time out of their own lives to protect those animals and make sure that they're... Not the target of that kind of thing, but it just sucks, man, you know.
Yeah, the sea lions, you only got to shoot them, man. Even if I was a fisherman, I wouldn't like that they'd eat everything, but still.
Well, we have a North American Mammal Protection Act, you know, which protects these creatures, and I don't know. There's a legal number of sea lions that are allowed to be killed every year. You can find out what that number is, including up on the Washington and Oregon coasts, and here in California. So they do try to thin the population, as they say. But that is done according to state law and federal law, and it is done with the aid of fish and game. There's your fish and game there, bud.
Think the guy, Walt Cronkite?
Oh, by the way, that reminds me. I just got the word on Walt Cronkite.
Was he shooting a sea lion, probably?
No, he wasn't shooting sea lions. But anyway, that's done through the offices of Fish and Game, and it is done within a legally prescribed manner, so they don't need some yahoo getting out of his pickup truck, wandering down onto the cliff and going, I think I'm going to kill me a sea lion today. Well, guess what, pal? Somebody might take a shot at you.
Phil, that is very irresponsible.
I didn't. What did I say? There's a lot of people pissed off at those people. There's a lot of really angry people who don't like these sea lions getting shot by these clowns. I ain't saying anything that people don't already know.
Yeah, well, it's irresponsible, man, saying the guy took a shot at.
Hey, I'm just saying. If you're the kind of person that goes out shooting sea lions, there are a lot of really angry people out there, and I'm just telling you what I read on freaking online, you know.
Well, you read it online, so that shows you right there that they're crazy. Anything you read online has been written by sociopathic, antisocial, Asperger syndrome, marginally autistic weird asses. Thank you.
Yay! Don't go yay. All right. On the line with us is Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Middle School in Bellflower, California. We're going to take a little bit of a break from... By the way, Clara, can I ask you to hold on for a moment?
Yes, sir. I'm very happy to do that, but we do have a little bit of a time crunch here because we're on our way to a birthday party tonight.
You and Reverend Rennick? Pastor Rennick?
Yes.
Okay. I apologize. And I just want to let people know, Walt Cronkite, and thanks to Dan Northcraft, Walt Cronkite is the grandson of Walter Cronkite. That is a real guy.
So he did not change his name?
No, he actually uses the name Walt Cronkite so as to not confuse anybody, you know.
Oh, because I notice now you're all, you know, like you're good buddies with him.
I'm not good buddies. I'm just trying. We got it cleared up. Anyway.
I heard the entire Walt Cronkite. I thought it was very interesting. And thank you for clearing that up because I, too, wanted to know whether there was someone using the name Walt. You know, and William, his brother's name is Walter.
Pastor Rennick?
Yes, his brother's name is Walter. And I said to him, did you call your brother Walt? Because I was listening to what you were saying. And he said, we used to call him Walt. We call him Walter. I said, did you ever have fun and call him Walter Cronkite? And he said, all the time. Is that right, William? Yeah, we did that. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Pastor Rennick, how are you?
I'm good. I wanted Clara. Thank you, honey. My brother's name was Walt, and we had called him Walter. You know, he's prison Walter. My mother and father call him Walt. But a lot of times that we are having fun with him, we'd say, here come Walter Cronkite. What's the news, Walter Cronkite, you know?
How did he react to that?
Oh, he irritate him a little bit, but sometimes he'd be... Because my brother was a guy, always knew what was going on. Always knew what was going on. You could ask my brother, say, what happened at school today? What was that thing that happened at school today? Or we'd say to him, why, you know... why are those people moving at the end of the street? Or why is that car all of a sudden painted red? He always knew everything about the neighborhood, and he always knew everything about the school. And that's when I said, well, you named Walter, you know, Walter Rennick. You named Walter Cronkite, and we got a kick out of that, you know.
So you nicknamed him Walter Cronkite because he had all the information, huh?
Always had the information, yeah. But I know Claire wants to talk to you about the school. I want to just say one thing, Phil, if I could, about what you're going to discuss.
All right, well, let me bring people up to speed here. There is an effort made, being made by some schools to videotape children throwing food away at school. The reason for this is to see what kinds of foods the kids are throwing away. So if the kids have lunch at school, they want a video or they somehow record, have a record of what it is they're throwing away so as to get a better idea of the eating habits of kids. Now, Clara and Joyful Union, I know, because there was an article about this in the LA Times, William, they're now looking into the kids' lunch bags. Is that it?
Yeah. The thinking being is that if you look at a child's lunch bag and you look and see what is in a child's lunch, you know pretty much how this child is being fed. And you know whether this child is bringing to school things that is nutritious, things that is good for their health, as opposed to eating, whether it's high sugar content or it's too much starch, this kind of thing.
So what are you doing at Joyful Union then?
We're looking into the children, ask the children to open a bag. If they have a bag lunch, they bring from home. If they have a lunchbox, they bring from home. Now, if the child is availing his or herself of the lunch we have at school, that's easy enough for us to take a look at. But it's the lunch that the child brings from home that we want to get a better look at. Here, let me give you. Thank you. So I think William put it very well. We want to see what these children are bringing from the home, because so many children are bringing food from home that are obviously not nutritious. And this takes a step further. The program that you were reading about that I think has been inaugurated in some school, I don't know how many, where they are videotaping or recording or, as you said, Phil, making a public record of what the children is throwing away.
Right. So they can see what the kids don't want to eat.
Yeah. This is something I think is a little bit more to the point. We look at what the child is eating, what's in the child's lunch. We make a record of that. The child either then takes what's left of that lunch and has that for lunch, or we can give them a voucher for something else to eat at the school.
What are you doing with when you look into the lunch?
Well, William is telling me here. We don't want to answer. It's not that I don't want to tell you. I would rather not have her answer that because I don't know if Clara knows the ins and outs of the program. I can tell you that what we're doing is we're looking into the bag, and if we see food in there that the child, we feel, should not be eating. And I understand that this could run afoul of what some parents want, but...
Yeah, it could, because some parents pack those lunches specifically for those kids.
Well, if the child has some health consideration, we'll know that, but if the child has food in there they should not be eating, we'll take that what that food is, and we won't throw it away. We might offer it to the faculty or to myself or one of the other counselors.
So you take food out of the kids' bag. Now, you're taking food from the kids' lunch bag. What is this voucher?
Yeah, we give the child a voucher that they can use when and if we are able to accommodate them. It's a difficult thing because we don't have enough food to go around. We do count on kids to bring food from home, and we don't have enough lunches to go around. But we can't have the child eating what is not healthy. So we'll give them a voucher for a prescribed amount of food once we have enough food in the cafeteria.
Once you have enough food in the cafeteria. So now what happens to that child if there isn't enough food in the cafeteria? You've taken their lunch away from them. What are they going to eat?
Well, we're not taking anything away from them that's going to keep them. We're taking away sugar. We're taking away starch. We're taking away a cool box. What do you call that? I'm sorry. What do you call that box? A cool box?
Like a cranberry box.
Yeah, they got a cranberry box. Have you seen the box of liquid?
Yeah, that's like the juices?
Yes, sir, juices. But we'll take away some of that, some of the sugary drink. So what we're taking away is not going to hurt the child. It can only help because they're not going to have to process that food.
Well, what if the only thing the kid brought to school was this kind of garbage?
Well, then I think you've taught that parent a very valuable lesson. Look what we did. We had to take everything away from this child. They had nothing to eat. By the time they got home, I'm sure they're very hungry. And the next time you pack this kid a lunch, you remember this day, you know.
Remember this day.
I can tell you right now, you must be getting some phone calls from parents that are livid, you know.
Actually, Phil, we've had most of the parents understand. Once we explain the program to them, they understand. And they're very grateful. Some of them are very angry, but once you sit them down and calm them down and you tell them, now, you're not going to get anywhere that way. I'm not going to get no... Well, let's talk about this. You put that in that kid's lunch bag. I didn't put it in there. You put it in there. You know, and when you put that in there, you knew that I was going to reach in and take that out.
Did they know that you were going to reach in, take it out, and eat it yourself?
I didn't. No. I didn't say that I'm going to eat it, Phil.
You said that you would pass that food around to the faculty.
Yes, I did. You're right. But I'm not. It's not like I'm going through the lunches every day and looking for. I tell you the one thing that I do like is that Rice Krispie treat. I have to tell you, if I see the Rice Krispie treat, you know that's not good for a child to eat.
Yeah, I think William ate the Rice Krispie treat.
I have taken a Rice Krispie treat, but that's the only thing that I would say I take out of a child's lunch and eat myself. The rest of it will go to faculty, or we will throw it into the garbage.
All right, Pastor William Rennick here, and so is Clara. We haven't talked to her in a long time on the world famous Phil Hendry Show as they monitor the lunches of kids that are coming to Joyful Union and are now removing from the kids' lunches anything that they deem injurious or harmful. And the interesting thing about that is that we also have schools across the country that are now trying to record or videotape what it is kids are throwing away, what it is kids are not eating, to better inform them, the school members, you know, the faculty administration of the school, what kids are eating. 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line is, we have with us Pastor William Rennick and his wife Clara Bingham. We're going to get back to them in just a moment, but we just saw on CNN, Margaret, you saw it.
Yes, the United Nations has condemned Syria shelling a Turkish village, and Syria has authorized military action. And I think that this is a sad day. When you consider that the anti-war movement in our country was not able to stop the Iraq war until too late. And now, what do we have? Now we have Syria being attacked by Turkey.
Excuse me.
What?
Can I just do the news and we can get the opinion later?
Can you just do the news and we can get the opinion? All right.
Yeah, I just want to give people the story here. The story, there was, Syria had shelled a village, killing five civilians. Syria reassured the United Nations that that incident would never occur again. This, according to the Turkish deputy prime minister, who I guess heard this assurance. However, what just moved on CNN here moments ago is the story that says Turkey has authorized military action against Syria. Now, let me just go over to CNN, because CBS News is worthless as ever since Walt Cronkite retired, you know.
Well, Phil, don't make a joke, because what we've got going on here is the possibility of World War III.
Oh, would you stop?
No, I won't stop.
Get out of here. I'm not going to have you talking like that. All right. So what we've got going on is, as I said, there has been an announcement here that Turkey has decided to authorize military action. The Security Council has condemned the Syrian attack. The UN Security Council condemned Syria's shelling of a border town in Turkey and appealed for restraint from both countries. What was just on CNN on CNN on television, on CNN's cable news, is that there has been an announcement from Turkey or otherwise some information that's moved from Turkey that they're authorizing military action.
What does that mean? Is it going to be a war?
Look, you see, you got him upset.
Bud, I'm sorry to upset you, but we have to be prepared for World War III.
Would you stop that?
Yes, he just said World War III.
You don't know what World War III, man. Come on. Stop it.
Don't tell me to stop it. I am anti-war, Phil. You know that.
I'm not going to have you playing it fast and loose and trivial with this information. You understand? It's not going to happen. All we know is what we know. And the fact is that that's what they said, and that's how and that's where that's at.
Oh, that's great. All we know is what we know, and that's where it's at, and that's how it's... Jeez.
I'm sorry, but, you know, Clara Bingham with us. Clara, sorry to... have to break away.
I totally understand, and certainly I have to agree with Margaret, at least from this standpoint, that our world does not need more conflict. Our world needs less conflict. And I think for you to come on panicked and screaming, almost as Pastor Rennick would say, like a woman, I don't think we need that, Phil.
And when did I come on screaming like a woman?
Thank you very much, Clara. That's what I've been trying to say to him.
I just don't think it's right.
Wait a minute. When did I come on screaming like a woman? I just came on and I said what I said.
Well, you came on. Syria has announced in Turkey.
Yes, Phil, and you were all very shrill. And one could well imagine, if people are listening, what you imagined, yes, it did happen. Phil was squirting sweat from the bald head. I'm sorry, Phil, but something has to be said.
I think, Phil...
I'm watching Phil TV right now, and the sweat was just pouring down your face.
Oh, bull crap, sweat pouring down. What is going on here? Is Pastor Rennick there?
No, Pastor Rennick is not here, but Pastor Rennick's here. I'm talking still, William. I'll let you have the phone when I'm done.
All it takes is a war for these women.
There is no war. I'm saying, Phil, and you know I love and respect you, but I think you have to stop being so panicky about things. And
well, I'm sorry if I came across panicky.
Yeah, well, it scared me and everything.
You see, you got Bud upset.
Yeah, the young man was upset.
Bud, I'm sorry. If I upset you, I'm sorry.
I don't know who did it. Yeah, but talk about World War III.
There's not going to be any World War III. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. How dare you even bring that up?
Let me get William. Come on, William.
Now, listen, this William Rennick, though. I'm sorry, I got to agree. Look, I heard you come on and go, you didn't do that. Now, you didn't do that.
No, I didn't do that.
No, you didn't. But I heard you say, and it sounded like this, Phil. Now we got information, Syria, and I heard kind of a Syria. I heard a little bit, and what happens is when the voice does that, Phil.
My voice didn't do that.
Yeah, I'm afraid it did. When the voice does that, it sends a message.
All right, hold on for a minute. We have to break. We'll be back. We'll talk more about not just about what's happening in the Middle East, but how I've been reporting it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Thanks for the warning.